A blue oval turns into a circle and is followed by the words, Touchstone Pictures. Touchstone Pictures presents Cocktail. A large bus drives along a road. It's a gray day. Bare trees dot a field that's covered in spotty snow. A car with an attachable flashing light and siren speeds along the road. The car is filled with men and some are wearing military hats. A man in an army jacket stands in the car briefly as they close in on the bus. They pull alongside the bus and signal to the driver. The bus driver sees them in his side-view mirror, but continues on. They wave and pull ahead of the bus. When they finally stop, the men get out and run to the bus. The man in the jacket grabs a duffel bag out of the car trunk. One of the men hits the door of the bus and it opens. The man in the jacket starts to board the bus. A soldier hits the Greyhound bus as it drives away. The men in green uniforms slowly walk back to the car where the trunk is still open. At dusk, a sign reading New York glows on the front of the bus as the young man reads a book about how to make $1 million. Other passengers are sleeping. It's daytime. The young man holds another passenger's baby and points to the New York skyline in front of them.
Mike, look at there. Look at that. You see that city out there, kid? See that big town? One day we're going to own that town. You and me. What do you think of that? Yeah.
My kid. The bus is in New York traffic. A place to draw the line. The young man stretches his neck and turns to see a man walking a lot of dogs. What is theirs and what is mine? He sees another man cleaning up after his dog and smirks to himself. The bus arrives at the station and people unload their luggage. The young man throws his duffel bag over his shoulder. The young man leaves a subway car and goes up the steps to the street above. He crosses the street and approaches an older man in front of a bar. A sign reads, Pat's Place. The older man is putting trash in a trash can.
Hey! Uncle Pat, you better be careful. You're going to throw that back out again.
Don't worry about me. I can handle it.
Yeah?
So, home for the wars, huh?
They hug.
How you doing?
Oh, I'm doing fine. Servicing all the widows in the neighborhood now.
Same old Uncle Pat.
Later, the young man holds up a beer.
Flat beer from Rusty Pipes. If you only knew how I missed it.
You might have changed a lot, but they should have beat the wise guy out of you.
Not a chance of that.
I saved the apartment for you. Sold that to a couple of yuppies. They loved your mother's furniture. They said it was quaint.
The young man purses his lips.
I still remember the day they came to repossess it.
Yeah, well. So what are you going to do now?
The young man smiles and scratches his ear.
Make $1 million?
Well, in the meantime, I'll ask McDougal to give you a job while you're waiting.
No way!
It was good enough for your old man.
So is arthritis.
He supported a family, just like you're going to have to do.
No, not me. I'm not falling into that trap.
Every man wakes up one fine morning with a wife and kids. Where'd they come from? They weren't there last time I looked. That's because most things in life, good and bad, just kind of happen to you.
Well, I'm going to make things happen for me.
Sure you will. That'll be a buck for the beer.
He stares at Pat and looks to a balding man who's nodding.
What? Your nephew comes home from serving his country, and he doesn't even rate a beer on the house?
Well, you don't get rich giving things away.
Oh, how do you get rich?
I'm going to give you your first lesson on the house. I've been here 25 years, never bought a drink. Right, Eddie?
Yeah, I can testify to that.
You outwork, outthink, outscheme, and outmaneuver. You make no friends. You trust nobody. And you make damn sure you're the smartest guy in the room whenever the subject of money comes up.
I don't know, Uncle Pat. Doesn't sound like too much fun to me.
Fun? You want fun, you go play at the beach.
I think I'll try the city first.
Well, here. This will get you there in style.
Ooh, $10. Uncle Pat. Did you buy Eddie a binge on me, huh? Eddie, you gotta be quicker than that, man.
The young man, wearing a suit, hurries out of a subway station. He's carrying a briefcase and a folded newspaper. Later in an office...
I've always wanted to work on Wall Street. I read the journal, I know what's going on today. And I'm willing to do whatever it takes to succeed.
I appreciate that, Flanagan, but all our professionals have college degrees.
I catch on pretty quick.
You're wasting your time.
Forget the street.
No.
We're not interested.
A guy like you, advertising.
I have a feel for advertising. I mean, I can look at an ad and tell you what's wrong with it.
Mr. Flanagan, we need solid credentials.
No, a marketing degree is a prerequisite.
Private networks.
In the Army, I spent a lot of time in communications. I think I can help you.
Well, we need somebody who can hit the ground running.
Sorry.
Maybe in 6 or 8 months, but...
You should pursue other avenues.
Try something else.
Maybe you should re-enlist.
I believe in positive thinking. Never quit. Never say die. I want to be part of the team. So, what do you think?
You know, your resume is completely inadequate.
I'm willing to start at the bottom.
You're aiming too high.
I'll do anything.
You don't have enough experience.
No, I need a job.
We value education.
We require a degree.
You should go to college.
Later, Flanagan walks down the street with his tie loosened. He stops in front of a bar with a help wanted sign in the window. He looks inside and sees stools leaning against the bar. A man is mopping and another man is behind the bar smoking. Flanagan goes inside. The man behind the bar tosses a glass, catches it, then sets it on the bar.
Last class, pal.
I know, I'm looking for the manager.
What's the matter? Find a hair in your quiche?
No, I'm looking for a job.
I see. You want to put a hair in somebody else's quiche? Just get canned?
I'm looking for something better.
Coughlin's Law. Anything else is always something better.
Coughlin's Law?
Douglas Coughlin. Logical negativist. Flourished in the last part of the 20th century. Propounded a set of laws that the world generally ignored. To its detriment. Me. Ever work behind the bar?
My uncle's in the business.
You know how to make a red eye, Mr. What's your name?
Brian Flanagan. No, I'm sorry, I haven't had the pleasure as yet.
What about a vodka martini with a Pernod float?
I'm a fast learner.
To throw a 400-pound psychopath out of a bar?
Guess I could if I had to.
What about a 100-pound ballerina that's been speeding for 3 days?
Just open the door and let her pirouette out in the street?
He breaks an egg into a drink.
Well, these are just some of the tasks you'll be asked to perform, young Flanagan. This is the Upper East Side, the saloon capital of the world. Big time. Are you ready for the big time, young Mr. Flanagan?
As Brian watches, Doug gulps the drink.
I think I can handle it.
And smiles.
Get your act together!
Not get roses played!
Hey, come on, man! I've got 4 people waiting for me. I'm not going back here with 3 drinks!
I know, it's coming.
For the twist, not glued on the rocks, guilty gin tonic, and a velvet hammer!
Is that what I ordered?
And a ring, a Bolson, and a Cuba Libre.
What was that?
A Bolson and a Cuba Libre.
Oh, so
wait, hold on. Drink order.
The register hits him in the head.
You gotta sit in the water and go to County Island.
You want me to bite the top off?
Yeah, this has got risk. recipe.
Margarita, Cuba Libre.
Cuba Libre.
Can I
have some water? She doesn't know how to make it.
Where's my Jim Beam on the rocks?
It's coming.
I'm not breathing till I get my Cuba Libre. Excuse me. Where's Lord Delphine?
This is what I ordered.
What do you want?
You bitch! Why didn't you just tell me it was a rum and coke?
Could I have what I ordered?
A
green angel.
A white wine.
Hey, squirrel.
A fire tuck.
A single.
A white wine.
Hey, squirrel. Angel tip.
Dirty mother.
Could I have what I ordered?
All right. All right. Now, what was it that you ordered?
A martini.
What's in that?
Later, Brian sits at the bar, peels off his sock, folds it, and wrings it out. A waitress approaches with money in her hand.
Supposed to get 10% from the waitresses.
I don't deserve it.
Hey, schmuck, you get money from girls every day?
Listen, I'm sorry I called you a bitch.
Why? I am a bitch.
She winks at Brian and smiles.
Got yourself a new disciple?
Good night, my beautiful. Hey, Frogman. Anyone that can get money out of her is a major talent. Come back next Thursday. I've got 5 shifts open.
You're offering me a job?
Uh-huh.
Brian shakes his head.
The waitresses hate me.
Well, you wait till you've given them crabs. Then you'll really know hatred.
Doug smiles. Later, Brian joins a line outside a building.
Today, I'd like to continue our discussion of the demand for money by focusing on the money multiplier. We've got to add increases in currency, deposits, reserves, and bank credit along the whole system. Then what we have is the sum of an infinite series. Adding together the increases in currency and deposits, we find that they add up to 1 plus CU over CU plus RE. That, simply stated, is the money multiplier. Now, moving on.
At the bar.
Essential technique of bartending. Less is more. The less you pour, the more you score. The boss does better, we do better.
And the customer?
Think of the customer as a hurdler thinks of a hurdle, a means to an end. We dazzle him with ice work, we baffle him with bottle work. In many ways, the fool a customer, the short pour, the long pour, the ice mountain, the spring thaw, the speed rack shuffle, the hot shot. You will learn them all.
Yes, Obi-Wan.
Both hands, ladies, come on, come on.
Okay, ready? 1, 2, 3, let go!
He flops his hand around on the bar.
Oh, yeah, what does it mean?
What does it mean? Nothing!
Okay, nothing!
He tosses a bottle and liquor splashes out.
Whoa.
He tosses 2 more bottles, shakes his head, and sticks his tongue out.
Very sophisticated, man!
Good job!
Brian tosses a shaker up and tries to catch it over his head with his other hand. He tries again and almost drops it.
You got it.
The third time it works.
Come on, let's go with a drink. We're making money tonight. Let's make some money for a change.
A waitress snaps her fingers as she waits.
Woo! Ice!
Pack.
Doug throws ice at Brian.
Thank you!
I guess that's what you learn in college, right?
Doug and Brian dance. The 2 women at the bar smile as they watch Brian. Brian walks like an ape and starts dancing again.
Fun. See?
Don't forget my beard, Brian.
Brian leans under the cash register.
It's me. Hello.
After closing.
See, the name of the game is woman. Little darlings come in a panting. The little hearts a pitter-patting for the handsome, all-knowing bartender.
He lights a cigarette.
In their wake, a parade of slobbering geeks with one hand on their crutches and the other hand on their wallets. You get the women, you get the bucks, and boy, oh boy, you've got them. Buttons were popping, skirts were rising. When you can see the color of their panties, then you know you got talent. Stick with me, son, I'll make you a star.
Thanks, man, but I gotta be honest. This is just a part-time gig for me. I'm in a business program, City College, Daisy.
Ah, seeker of wisdom and truth.
He pours 2 shots.
You couldn't have found a better work-study program than right here. You're a future leader of America.
He slides a shot to Brian.
We'll stick with the brew.
Beer is for breakfast around here. Drink or be gone.
Doug takes a shot. Brian lowers his head, slowly puts down his beer, and drinks his shot.
For your midterm paper, I want you to select a business in which you are interested.
Brian's eyes close.
And to prepare a complete plan for its development. You should include capitalization, administrative costs, Income prospectus. Marketing.
He lowers his head.
Cost analysis. Blue shirt, fifth row. Wake up!
Brian is nudged and he opens his eyes.
Ah, light dawns on marble head. Where was I?
Brian flips a bottle from one hand to the other. Then he flips two bottles and pours liquor into glasses. He dances and sings as he puts stirring straws into two drinks. He smiles at a woman in a green sweater and places the drinks in front of her. She grins back and watches him closely. He hands a glass to another customer. He moves to the volume of the stereo. Brian spins and customers dance and sing. He points to the woman in the green who stares at him with wide eyes. He holds both fists in the air. He dances some more, then goes to Doug.
I have got serious love me eyes coming over here.
Stay in formation or all men's coming in right behind you.
A man puts his hand on the woman in green's shoulder. Back in class.
I asked you to prepare a business plan. A seemingly simple assignment. And yet one word describes your papers. Bankrupt! Bankrupt! A word some of you will get to know well in the future. Like Mr. Ron LeMaster. Where is Ronnie LeMaster? Yes, our cosmetics magnate who hopes to make his fortune selling makeup for pets.
He throws the paper.
Fetch, Ronnie, fetch. Good boy. And my own personal favorite, Mrs. Sheila Rivkin.
Oh, my God, he's got my paper.
Mrs. Rivkin has spent the last 20 years burning her husband's dinners, but now decides she wants to become the Donald Trump of the cookie business. You.
Brian has turned to Sheila.
You have something to contribute?
I just said it wasn't worth getting upset about.
What's your name?
Brian Flanagan.
Now speak up, let the class hear you.
Brian looks at the professor.
Brian Flanagan.
Oh, yes, Flanagan, Mr. Flanagan, Mr. Brian Flanagan. Let us see. Yes, Mr. Flanagan is determined to revolutionize the bar business by franchising his version of the local New York tavern to every suburban shopping mall in America. Tell me, Mr. Flanagan, do you intend to provide the smell of stale beer? Or perhaps a surly bartender and three boring drunks to each outlet?
I don't know. You looking for another job?
The professor looks around the room.
Ah, diamond in the rough. The dreamer who can't take the criticism.
Not from a guy who hides here because he can't hack it in the real world.
The professor glares at him.
Okay, Flanagan. Let's see how well you hack it in the real world with an F in this course. F!
He throws the paper in the air.
You're not a damn thing any one of those professors says makes a difference on the street.
If you know that, you're ready to graduate.
Brian pours two shots and opens two beers.
Maybe I'm just too old to be a student.
He takes a shot and Doug drinks his beer.
I've got to find something to do.
Relax, you're in the perfect job. There's no better way to make it than behind 3 feet of mahogany. Within 1 square mile of this saloon lies the greatest concentration of wealth in the world.
Yes, but how was a bartender gonna get his hands on any of it?
A bartender is the aristocrat of the working class. He can make all kinds of moves if he's smart. There are investors out there. There are angels. There are suckers. There are rich women with nothing to do with their money. You can stand in this bar and you can be struck by lightning. I've seen it happen.
In the daytime, Brian heats pizza in an oven.
You don't want a slice?
For breakfast, you've got to be joking.
It's better than a red eye.
Look for a hangover. Coughlin's diet. Cocktails and dreams.
Hey, that's not a bad name for a joint.
You know, we really ought to think about setting up our own place.
That takes money. Kind of money your sacred books dangle, but never deliver.
They deliver. You just gotta know how to read.
He puts milk in the refrigerator while Doug writes.
I mean, come on, we could make a fortune. I mean, that's why you came to New York. That sure as hell why I left Queens. Positive. Positive thinking. You can't let a little thing like cash stand in our way.
Cocktails
and dreams.
Cocktails and dreams.
I say it in pink neon. Blink, blink, pinkity blink.
That is a little corny, isn't it? But I could live with it.
Yes, but can I live with young Flanagan?
They look at each other.
Well, maybe I could handle a partner.
All right. All right. 50-50.
A partner who knows his place. 70-30.
Brian briefly looks away.
Well, you do have your pension to think about, so I will settle for 60-40.
Doug cracks an egg into a drink.
To health and friendship.
Life and love.
Our future.
To our future. Let's do it.
It's nighttime. At the bar, a crowd has gathered to watch Brian and Doug. They both slam coasters on the bar. They each toss a glass in the air and catch it. They fill the glasses with ice. They fling shakers, catch them, and pass them behind their backs. They hurl liquor bottles behind their backs, catch them in front, then flip them upside down over the shakers. They flip different bottles and pour alcohol into the shakers behind their backs. They pitch up two bottles each and pour the contents into each shaker. They pour in juice. They spray in soda as they pour the mixture into the glasses. They bounce the shakers off the icebox and throw them to each other. They slam the shakers on the bar upside down. They add straws and clean glasses.
Yeah! Yeah! Two stars like you, wasting your talents in a hole like this.
Secret admirer!
No, I'm serious. I got the hottest saloon in town. I want you guys working for me. In 2 weeks, you'll be famous.
I've been famous for 10 years. Just give me the money.
I got the hippie shake.
A limo stops at a curb near a line of people. A woman in a fur coat and a man step out of the limo. They walk past the line and a sign reading cell block. Inside, people crowd two levels of balconies and the bottom floor around a bar. The bar top is lit with white lights, while the rest of the club has blue lighting. A man wearing a suit and carrying a briefcase walks up some stairs as a spotlight and photographer follow him.
Yuppie poet.
Behind the bar, Doug smiles and Brian cheers.
The poem is entitled The Bottom Line.
Stick it in your phone book.
Money isn't everything, they say. Okay, so what is sex?
It's better than sushi.
Did you ever make love to a pauper? Me, you.
I'd rather hump a camel.
Revolution? It takes money to overthrow the government, you know. Art? The more it costs, the better it is. And that's the bottom line!
The man in the suit turns around. Brian and Doug try to get the crowd's attention. People raise their fists. Finally, Brian stands on top of the bar with a bottle in his hand and whistles.
Barman poet.
Give us a kiss, you sexy beast!
Brian looks over the crowd and waves around a shot glass.
I see America drinking. The fabulous cocktails I make. America's getting stinking on something I stir or shake. The sex on the beach.
The photographer lowers her camera and smiles.
The schnapps made from peach. The velvet hammer. The Alabama slammer. I make things with juice and froth, the pink squirrel, the three-toed sloth. I make drinks so sweet and snazzy, the iced tea, the kamikaze.
He tenses his face.
The orgasm.
A woman strokes his leg.
Hands up the merchandise.
The death spasm.
He kneels and kisses the woman's hand.
The Singapore sling, the ding-a-ling.
Jingling.
America, you're just devoted to every flavor I've got.
He holds the bottle to his chest.
But if you want to get loaded,
he flips the bottle.
Why don't you just order a shot?
He pours a shot and toasts to the crowd. He sees the photographer and she nods her head to the side of the bar. He drinks the shot.
Bar's open!
He jumps off the bar as the photographer approaches.
I'd like to try the orgasm, please.
How many would you like?
Multiple.
Multiple? Well, then why don't we start with the turquoise blue?
He throws a glass over his head to Doug. Then he tosses ice, which Doug catches in the glass. Doug adds more ice, and Brian flips a bottle behind his back. Doug slings a shaker to Brian, then a bottle of liquor. Brian pours the liquid. He slides the bottle down his back, and Doug catches it. Brian flips another bottle sideways to Doug, who then pours behind his back into Brian's shaker. He hurls the bottle in the air, and Brian catches it and continues pouring. Doug adds juice. The photographer moves to the music. She watches Brian and cocks her head to the side. Brian shakes the drink while Doug dances and places a martini glass on the bar. Brian pours a blue drink into the glass.
What for?
When you're a big celebrity, I'll put you in Rolling Stone magazine.
Oh, right.
My protege. I discovered it.
Ah, that's great. Can you move aside, though? I can't fit you both in.
Excuse me.
Great.
In a room, a fire is burning and a bathtub is full of bubbles. Clothes and towels are draped over the tub and lay on the floor. Brian's head and the photographer's feet poke out from under the crumpled sheets. He drinks from a bottle and she pulls his head back under the covers. They kiss and wrestle under the sheets. They hit each other with pillows. Brian tickles the photographer. They roll around till they fall off the bed. Later, they're in Brian's kitchen watching boxing with Doug.
Get
off!
Damn it! Get
off!
God, look at that
clown!
Get off!
Good night, sweet prince.
Looks like one of our customers.
Ah, that bum just cost me $50.
So what's this great idea I'm here to piss on?
Brian stands and picks up a rolled poster.
Well, I have been doing some research into what it'll cost to set up Cocktails and Dreams. Now, what I have found is, if we find the right location, do our own renovation, we can start it up for as little as $75,000 cash.
Oh, it's the Tooth Fairy we'll deliver to our doorstep.
Hmm? No, man. Which we make...
He unrolls the poster.
In Jamaica, man.
Oh, God, Brian.
Like that. Jamaica, south of Soho.
Oh, yeah, man. Very south of Soho. The Caribbean Jamaica, man.
I was down there last month doing a shoot, and I met this bartender who makes $300 to $400 a day.
A day?
And he didn't have any of the talent of you guys.
Yeah, sure, man.
Not.
Winter in the tropics, spring in New York.
Jet set bartenders, right?
So we can live for peanuts down there. There are no taxes. Cash off the books. Two, maybe three seasons and we are in business.
So you want to wait 3 years. So I've told you, New York is where the angels are.
Oh, come on. Now, this is a real opportunity.
Oh, yeah.
We'll have a fantastic time.
Will we?
She smiles.
Coral, huh? Coral. English. Coral. Coral.
They're shooting a basketball. Brian scores.
Yes.
Doug passes the ball to him.
Why is it you think these chicks are always named after inanimate objects?
There's nothing inanimate about coral.
Hot mama, huh?
Brian shoots.
Yes.
Doug passes the ball.
Good shot.
$10 behind the line?
Sure. Shoot till you miss.
All right.
Where does Coral live?
Brian scores.
76th Street. She's got a brownstone. She owns the whole freaking building.
You don't think she lives in that building all by herself, do you? It's a bit lucky. See any pictures?
Of guys?
Yeah. No.
Brian scores for a third time.
That's $30 you owe me.
I know.
The man's on a roll, ladies and gentlemen.
So she's been saving herself for young Flanagan all these years. Well, maybe she hides the pictures when she goes out.
Oh.
Have a look on her ring finger. See if there's a white circle from her wedding band.
Man, are you paranoid?
Brian shoots a hook shot and scores.
Listen, it's the difference between a one-nighter and a meaningful relationship with an unattached millionaire.
Hey, I'm not thinking about it that way, okay? This is more than just a one-night stand.
This lady's gonna do a number on you, mate.
I appreciate the concern.
Brian shoots backwards and makes it.
Woo! That's $50 you owe me.
$50.
$50.
Well, $50 says that Carl's in the sack with some other guy before the week's out.
He passes to Brian.
That's a bet.
Brian shoots again.
Missed.
Doug pours soda and liquor into a glass with ice. Doug takes the drink to a customer. Brian flips a glass and pours in a beer. Coral walks through the crowd to the bar. Brian notices her.
Hey.
Hi, how are you?
Okay, how are you?
Brian smiles at Coral. She and Doug talk, then kiss. She looks at Brian while they kiss, then puts her arms around Doug. Brian glances at them a few times. He raises his eyebrows, then goes back to work.
Brian, what do you have? Screwdriver.
What?
Screwdriver.
Coral approaches.
I take it back. You're not going to be famous. Too bad you couldn't keep your mouth shut about our sex life. It only gets better.
She smirks and walks away. Brian watches her leave, then pushes Doug's shoulder.
You made a move on Coral?
I had to get my money back.
You knew how I felt about her.
How can you feel anything for an assembly line whore that does a book on the first date? I did you a favor, took her off your hands before she really twisted your butt.
Doug falls through the bar.
Come on! Come on!
Can't take the truth, eh?
That's bull! It was nothing but taking a cheap shot at me. Where I come from, you don't do that to your friends.
Where you come from, they're still saluting the flag and making no penis. No brawling in here. And that goes for the health as well.
He holds up a broken bottle.
I don't work here anymore. You want to cut me? Come on!
Brian turns around and walks away.
You'll thank me for this one day.
Brian storms out and slams the bar top. Doug presses his hand to his nose. Brian leaves the club.
Hey! Hey!
A cab drives past Brian. He turns to look behind him, then walks down the street. He throws up his hands. Waves peak in clear blue water. A person rides a jet ski. A hotel resort sits among large tropical trees. People tan on the beach and swim in the water. Another person windsurfs. A middle-aged balding man walks under several umbrellas. His yellow shirt is unbuttoned. He walks through a crowd to a circular bar. He leans on the bar next to a woman in a green swimsuit.
Buddy.
Hey, buddy.
Brian turns and walks toward the balding man.
The name is not Buddy. Pal.
The brochure promised me a drink on the house, pal. I'll take one of those orange things.
Excuse me. My friend just passed out on the beach over there. Do you have a phone anywhere?
No. Excuse me. Excuse me.
Brian climbs over the bar and runs after a young woman with blonde curly hair. They run to a woman lying on the beach with several people around her.
She was drinking champagne in the sun.
Champagne. Perfume going in, sewage coming out.
Is she going to be all right?
Yeah, she's going to be okay. Could somebody go down to the condo office and have them call an ambulance?
Yeah, sure.
Just in case. Let's get her up.
Later, young kids look on as Brian stands outside an ambulance.
The doctor will probably give her a shot of Ipecac.
I don't want anything more to drink.
Don't worry. It'll make you feel better. It'll help you throw up.
I don't want to throw up. Oh, God. I think I'm going to throw up.
She leans back.
No, I'm all right. I'm all right.
She can never make up her mind.
Hey, Brian, I got to hit the road, Mom.
Okay, well.
Brian smiles at the blonde woman.
Well, goodbye.
It has been an adventure.
They smile at each other.
I'll take care of you.
She waves. He raises his eyebrows as he closes the back of the ambulance. Later, the young woman is walking on the beach in a black swimsuit and sarong. She approaches the bar. Another woman vacates a stool where the blonde woman sits.
Every life we have some trouble. When you were
Brian sees her and they grin at each other. He walks over to her.
Be happy.
Mark, I haven't forgotten about you.
No problem.
Well, welcome to my most humble, dishonorable establishment.
Well, thank you.
My worthless, useless services are at your disposal.
I wanted to come by and thank you for helping out yesterday.
Sorry? How's she doing?
She
has a hangover.
Can I buy you a drink? My rum specialties, perhaps?
I'll have a beer.
He hands a drink to another customer.
My kind of woman.
He goes to the other side of the bar.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
He comes back to the young woman.
So it seems like happy hour all day around here.
Yes, happy hour. A great American invention for spending quality time with spouse, soused.
A bartender with a mind for everything. Yeah,
the bartender. The highest evolution of the species. Who's us New Yorkers?
He flips a glass, then a bottle.
Whoa.
Used to work at a circus before I got this job. Excuse me.
He puts a straw in a cup and moves to another customer. She smiles as she watches him and drinks her beer. Through the crowd, Doug emerges wearing a white unbuttoned shirt. He takes off his sunglasses and watches Brian chatting with a blonde woman. When Brian walks away, Doug sits next to her.
You want to see a grown man cry like a baby?
Hey, bartender, you know how to make a red eye?
Ryan's back is turned and he's leaning over. He slowly stands up and turns around. He lowers his head and starts laughing when he sees Doug.
What, no tearful greeting?
Coughlin's law. Never show surprise, never lose your cool.
Ah, my sons. My rebellious sons. Tell your old buddy how great he looks.
Ryan pours more beer into the young woman's glass.
You look like a guy who dyes his hair and shaves with a Brillo pad. A guy who gets an erection on his birthday if the wind is right.
Isn't this great? 2 years we haven't seen each other and we just flow into the old act.
Please, stop molesting the customers.
A daiquiri, if you will, bartender.
Ryan spends a glass in his palm.
I taught this young man everything he knows.
I doubt that.
Doug lights a cigarette and leans toward the woman.
Don't you waste your loyalty on him. He'll dump you after Valentine's Day.
She smirks at him. Brian returns with a pitcher and pours a drink into the glass.
Isn't that clever?
What the hell are you doing down here?
This lad is the best bartender south of 14th Street. It's his downfall.
Well, I don't see how being good at something can be your downfall.
Thank you.
I grant you, it's not an easy concept to grasp. Now, you take our hero here. I haven't seen him for a while, and I've never been in this joint before, but I will bet my bile duck he's got some kind of success manual behind the bar. Come on, Flanagan. I know it's here.
He leans over the bar, and Brian pushes his head back. Brian smiles as he reaches below the bar. He rolls his eyes and holds up a used book.
Touché.
Voila. You see, Flanagan's a believer. Always will be. He doesn't realize the doors are shut to people like us.
Well, maybe he wants to open them.
Then he has to steal the key, sweetheart.
Something Coughlin here has been unable to do.
Hey, I don't have to. Not anymore. I've had my miracle.
Oh, what? Some alky remember you in his will?
Better. I am in love.
Oh.
There is my miracle.
He points to a woman on the beach.
Ooh, Pocahontas over there, waiting for everyone to notice her?
How dare you speak that way about my wife?
Your wife in your dreams.
For real. We are here on our honeymoon. Sweetheart!
The woman on the beach turns and waves. She's wearing a tan bikini.
Come hither!
The woman walks toward them. Her blonde hair flows behind her.
You're married?
This is true love, young man. True love with a kicker. She's got millions.
Where were you? I thought you drowned or something. Oh, such luck.
Brian Flanagan, Kerry Coughlin. The love of my life.
They shake hands.
Hello.
Hi.
You see before you a changed man. The love of a good woman has made me see the light.
He kisses Kerry. Later that night. While your lips are close to mine, we'll last forever.
Forever till the end of time. Brian's cute. How long have you known him? 10 hours.
She looks behind her and Carrie stares at her. Brian and Doug join the women with drinks.
There you go.
I have never seen a club with such intense dance vibes.
Come on, let's decimate this dance floor.
He leads Carrie away as she takes a drink of her beer. She glances at Brian as they walk away.
I don't get the two of them.
Simple.
She's just a little rich chick whose family owns half Manhattan. I guess to piss them off, she decided to marry a bartender.
True love.
Let's dance.
He holds a beer in front of her, but moves his hand when she tries to grab it. They go to the dance floor where Doug and Carrie are kissing. Brian and the young woman sway to the music.
Wherever I hold you tight, this magic moment.
Later, they stand and kiss by the water.
Do you ever have the feeling that you might meet somebody? You know, when you walk into some place or something.
Star-crossed lover syndrome?
Hmm.
No.
No. Because I had a premonition that I was going to meet somebody when I came down here.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
You still got time, you know.
Some woman must have really done a job on you.
Why does it always have to be a woman?
Well, it doesn't. Your friend, what's his name, Doug, could have done it to you.
What's this? Immune to Coughlin's fatal charms? Give him a minute. You'll love him. All women do.
Well, I'm not like all women.
She puts her arms around him.
I'll give you that.
Hmm?
Of course, I'm not like all men either.
Yes, you are an original. Till you prove otherwise.
Oh, I better be careful not to lose my unique status.
He runs his hand through her hair. They touch each other's faces and kiss.
So is this one night stand time?
It doesn't make you a bad person, you know. Your parents own half of Manhattan?
No.
Well, then your virtue's quite safe with me. This evening, anyway.
During the daytime, Brian and the young woman ride horses along the shoreline. She speeds ahead of him. Later, they ride a trolley. He helps her down and hugs her from behind as they start walking. They watch a man with dreadlocks dancing in the center of a crowd. They walk through a market, then down a dirt jungle road with their arms around each other. Now she's drawing a charcoal sketch of him.
Smile!
She pinches his face into a smile.
So this is your profession?
More like my obsession.
Does it pay the rent?
Someday it will. Right now, though, I'm waiting tables at Jerry's Deli.
Sure know the place. Home of the famous cement Danish.
Yeah, that's the one.
Yeah.
He grabs a sketch pad and stands up.
Look, it's not done.
This doesn't look like me.
It's the real you.
Yeah, you captured my innermost soul.
She kicks his leg out from under him.
Are you okay?
She lies on top of him, and they hug.
Are you okay?
Oh. Morning, and he kisses his wife, and he goes to his drink umbrella factory where he rips off 10 billion of these a year. This guy's a millionaire.
How about the guy who makes these?
She holds up an ashtray.
How about that guy? The guy who makes these.
A wrapped toothpick.
And those little wrappers are made by another guy?
She takes the toothpick. He lifts his foot to the table.
What about these plastic things that they make these laces?
It's probably got one of those weird names, too, like a Lugal binder.
Lugal binder, right. We sit here, and we're surrounded by millionaires. You rack your brains day and night to try to come up with a money-making scheme, and some guy corners the flugelbinder market.
Aw, poor baby. He's frustrated.
You get a bar job to keep your days free for your real gig. After work, you're so charged up, have a few drinks. You know, hey, it's party time. Days get shorter and shorter, nights longer and longer. Before you know it, your life is just one long night with a few comatose daylight hours.
He looks down, and she raises her eyebrows.
Stop feeling so sorry for yourself, Flanagan.
Hey, your flugelbinder is out there waiting to be discovered. Waiting.
You think so?
I do.
They go to a pond under a waterfall. She dives in and he dives in after her. They swim a little, then hug and kiss. He carries her through the water. Just He pulls off one of her swimsuit straps. She pulls away and pulls off the other strap. She holds up her swimsuit and throws it.
Ta-da!
He pulls off his swimsuit and throws it. They embrace and kiss under the waterfall. It's nighttime. They lie together beside a fire and continue kissing. Later, they're sitting and she leans against him. His arms are around her. They're wrapped in a blanket as they watch the fire.
Wish we could stay here forever. Build a little hut over there on the beach.
I'd fish and pick coconuts.
No, I'd do the fishing and coconut picking.
No.
Yes.
No, you would make thatch skirts to sell to the tourists.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Thatch one, pearl two?
Yeah. We'd never go home. Our kids would look really great in dreadlocks, too.
He raises his eyebrows.
Kids?
She looks at him, and he kisses her forehead. Later at the bar...
How are you making out with that little blonde chippy?
How come I've always got the chippies and you're always with the princess?
Oh, that's a question only you can answer. This man's phenomenal. Put him in a room full of women, and he goes to the poorest and the dumbest every single time.
The man's astounding. His wife parades half naked on the beach, and he thinks she's just there for the sun.
My wife does not need other men.
You know what they say about sexual vanity in men over 40? It's the first sign of senility.
Please try to keep your envy in check.
Ooh, envy.
He's my protege. I taught him all I know.
Together with the token might get me on a subway.
You can only take a guy so far. Then it's a question of biology. Biology is destiny.
Ah, the old philosopher.
You see, there are two kinds of people in this world. The workers and the hustlers. The hustlers never work and the workers never hustle. And you, my friend, are a worker. God knows I've tried to beat that instinct out of him, but it's there ingrained in your immigrant blood. Look how tasty your cocktails are. Look how clean you keep your bar. Why, man, you actually take pride in your work.
Brian smiles.
I do not.
Is he or isn't he a great bartender?
Oh, the best.
Yeah. See, they love you.
Brian looks away and puts his hand to his mouth.
Listen, Bozo, if you think I'm stuck in this gig...
Face it, you're a career proletarian. You've been standing in a puddle so long, you've got web feet.
Just because he gets lucky with a rich chick.
Lucky, says. Well, you couldn't do it. I've known this man for 3 years, and believe me, he's not a closer. This place is crawling with moneyed females. Case in point, rich and riot, and out of your league.
He points to a woman wearing a revealing black shirt and a green silk jacket.
Out of my league? Hmm? Well, she just happened to be here checking me out the other night.
Maybe she had 15 minutes to kill. You know what it'd take to make a score on a smart woman like that? You'd have to get over on her, her managers, her lawyers, her trustees, her maid, and her tennis coach.
I've been training for this my whole life.
Well, $50. Says you don't even make it over the bar.
Gentlemen, that's a bet. You guys are in on this. Be cool.
He walks to the woman and flips a glass.
Mademoiselle.
Vodka on the rocks with a squeeze of lime.
Oh, no, this is the tropics. Please try a jus de mort.
Pardon me?
A jus de mort means juice of love. It's made with fresh fruit right off the vine. And trust me when I tell you that it is nothing short
of spectacular.
He sets a drink in front of her.
Excuse me, do I have... pick me up written on my forehead?
Brian continues smiling while Doug laughs at the other end of the bar.
I can't see a thing without my contacts.
She pulls a cigarette out of her purse.
You're just full of confidence, aren't you?
Yeah. Kind of makes you curious, don't it?
He throws a lit match to her.
Mighty Casey has struck out.
Dad, don't.
Game's not over yet. Wouldn't be any fun if they fell over with their legs in the air now, would it?
She blows out the match.
Bartender.
The men raise their eyebrows and Brian nods.
Excuse me.
The young blonde woman walks across the sand. As she approaches the bar, she stops and watches Brian with a woman as they walk toward the hotel. The young woman turns around and sits on the beach with her head in her hands. She frowns and stares over the water. She puts her hands to her mouth as a tear appears on the corner of her eye. In the daytime, Brian sits on a bed next to the woman from the bar who is sleeping. He pulls his shirt off the lampshade. He looks over his shoulder at the woman, then lifts his head. Later, he runs to a white cottage and looks in the backyard. He turns, brushes his hair back, then continues to the back of the house. He goes down the steps and walks to a woman sitting on a boat dock.
Hey, Dulcie.
He looks toward the house.
Where's Jordan?
She left on a flight back to New York late last night. What'd you do to her anyway?
He looks down and frowns. He slowly walks away. Later, he lies in bed with a fan blowing on him. A dim light is on, and he's looking at the ceiling.
Brian, are you there? It's Bonnie. Brian?
Come in.
The woman from the bar enters and smiles.
Hi.
She goes to the bed.
You found my secret hiding place.
The guys at the bar told me. I've been thinking about you all day.
Yeah? Plane ride home will cure that.
What I got there ain't no cure for. You can't send me away like this. I don't know what'll happen to me if you do. My business will go to hell. I'll start writing bad checks.
Can't have that now, can we?
No.
She lifts his shirt and kisses his stomach.
You don't really want me to go away, do you?
She bites his shirt. A boat is anchored on smooth water.
Into the market now, are we?
Mm-hmm.
What's my greatest talent? Reading between the lines. And that's what the market's all about. Cheers.
Cheers.
They both drink red eyes.
I must admit.
He leans toward Doug.
I never thought I'd see you set up like this.
Well, don't you worry. I won't forget my close friends.
He leans toward Brian.
Kerry's old man has just backed me in the most luxurious joint Manhattan's ever seen. We open in a couple of weeks. You come back to New York with us and I'll make you head bartender.
Well, that sounds very nice.
He looks away.
I've got plans of my own.
Doug takes off his glasses.
Like what?
Bonnie's hooking me up with her business. I'll be heading back to New York with her.
Kept man, eh? You think you made a breakthrough cutting that little blonde loose. Meanwhile, your conscience is killing you. If she hadn't left, you'd be back there begging.
You think so, eh?
Uh-huh. And a bottle of Louis Trey's says you'll be working for me by St. Patrick's Day.
$500 bottle of brandy.
I'll have to take that bet.
He stands and they high five. The New York skyline is silhouetted by the morning sun. Windows glow in the dim light. Brian's head is covered by a pillow.
Wake up! On your feet! Come on! Woo!
Brian lifts his head and sees Bonnie working out with a video.
Characters from the fridge. Get some for yourself.
It's addictive.
She jumps back to the television.
Hey, Mom.
Later, he has a glass in his hand.
And send Harvey down to Dallas right away.
Yeah.
Good, Tony. Great. You are beautiful. Yeah. Okay, I'll be in the office in 15.
Ciao, Tony.
Tony. Tony Scaduto, the sales manager?
Yeah.
I thought he was in Mexico.
Just got back Friday.
And I can go in and see him now?
We'll let it wait just a smidgen longer.
Remember, you're picking me up at 7 tonight. Why don't you wear the gray pinstripe we bought you last week?
He nods.
Okay. Did you tell him about my marketing ideas?
Honey, I don't want him to think I'm shoving my boyfriend down their throat.
What difference does it make? You're the boss.
These guys are top salesmen, babe. I can't treat them like office boys. Listen to me.
She wraps nylons around his neck.
You could wait 6 months. You'd still be the youngest sales manager in the business. Trust me, baby.
She kisses him and turns away. He frowns as he watches her. He almost takes a drink, but puts the glass down. Later, he walks down a street and stops in front of Jerry's Deli. He watches Jordan through the window. She's talking with customers. He glances at the restaurant sign and finally walks away. Later that night, a limo pulls beside a taxi.
Hey, come on, get that heap out of the way. How am I going to get out of here?
Hey, cool down, buddy.
Hey, you limo drivers are all alike. Now you stand around with your finger up your ass. Come on,
hold on, give us a break. We're going to have a heart attack.
Brian and Bonnie step out of the limo and approach a group of people outside a building.
Art!
Hi!
Hello! It's so good to see you. Hello, darling! God, it's been ages!
Hi.
Hi.
You look fabulous in that coat.
Thanks.
That color is gorgeous on you.
Darling?
Brian has walked away from the group but walks back after Bonnie signals.
Take my coat, will you?
He helps her take off her fur coat. In the building, people mingle among abstract sculptures. Brian finishes a glass of champagne, then takes another from a waitress. He looks at a sculpture and shakes his head. He walks to Bonnie, who's talking with a man in a tie.
Just the pleasure.
Bonnie, let's get out of here.
Darling, I think you've had enough to drink.
Oh.
Brian.
Bonnie, what are we playing, musical highballs here?
Come on, heel, boy, heel.
Come again?
I haven't got this one party broken yet, have you, Bonnie?
Brian, this is Robert Powell. He's the sculptor.
Oh.
He shakes Robert's hand.
You do. Interesting work.
Thank you.
Interesting. It's very urban in orientation. Robert, tell me, how?
He gestures to the sculpture.
Did you get the cockroach to stand still?
You're a drunk.
He pushes Brian.
You're ugly.
Brian pushes back.
Oh,
Brian!
Robert punches him.
You hold him.
As Brian hands his glass to a woman, Bonnie reaches for him.
I'm okay. Robert.
He steps on Robert's foot, slaps his face, then kicks him into the sculpture.
Brian! Stop this!
Have a nice day.
Brian squats outside the building, tending to his lip when Bonnie comes outside smoking a cigarette.
Come on, the suspense is killing me.
Well, at least you could apologize.
Apologize? Yes.
Brian, we have to talk about this seriously.
She steps on the cigarette and Brian stands.
Talk is overrated as a means of resolving disputes.
He tosses keys in the air and hands them to her.
Threw my stuff out of your place this afternoon. Left a can of Spam in the refrigerator. I hope the brewer's yeast doesn't take it personally.
She slaps him and he crouches over. He stomps his foot and moves toward her.
God, Brian, I'm sorry. I'm so, Brian. Listen, baby. I've got some interviews set up for tomorrow.
Forget it! I am not a salesman. I tried to sell out to you, but I couldn't close the deal.
Please. I don't want to end it this way.
Everything ends badly. Otherwise, it wouldn't end. Believe me, Bonnie, you are going to wake up in the morning with a sigh of relief. Because I'm not there.
She scowls, tightens her coat around her, and walks away. He picks up his coat and turns to watch her. It's daytime. He steps into Jerry's deli. He walks to the back of the diner, sits at a booth, and looks around. He sees Jordan and covers his face with a menu.
Waitress, I'll be in a second.
Jordan sets down food and moves past Brian's table, but doesn't notice him.
Excuse me, could you tell me what the specials are, please?
What are you doing here?
Bet you thought you'd never see me again.
Hoped is a better word.
Excuse me, waitress.
I'll be there in a minute.
Miss, we have theater tickets.
Look, you obviously are not here to eat, so I'd appreciate it if you'd leave.
Miss?
Waitress, I'll be there in a minute.
I'm not leaving.
Your sexy little smile's not going to work this time.
He glances down.
Not leaving. That's it.
You're not leaving?
Not until you let me apologize.
Did you say you'd like to see the specials, sir?
I'd like to see the specials.
Jordan struts into the kitchen. Brian and the frustrated couple wait. She returns with two plates.
Look, now we've been waiting.
Today's specials are meatloaf mozzarella.
She drops the food into his lap.
Chicken a la king.
She dumps it over his head.
May I suggest some ketchup for your fries?
She pours ketchup into his lap, slams down the bottle, and storms off. A busboy watching the scene laughs. The waiting couple look at Brian and laugh.
Hell.
Brian starts laughing, too.
I'd think twice about ordering the specials if I were you, huh?
At night, Brian waits outside the deli. He's wearing sunglasses. He kneels on the sidewalk and holds out his hands when Jordan comes out. She grins at him.
Fair change for my dry cleaning?
Sorry, payday's Friday.
You wouldn't treat a stray dog like this, would you?
A stray dog can be loyal.
All right, I'm a rat. There's no hope for me. But even I have a right to defend myself. Please to explain.
She turns away.
Taxi!
He runs after her.
Come on in.
They enter an apartment through a red door. Jordan puts her things away. Brian looks around at paintings that clutter the room. He stops at a large painting of a waterfall.
Is this our waterfall?
No.
It's terrific.
Yeah, it's all right. Name's Mooney, not Monet.
She pushes up her sleeves and leans on a table.
So, why did you humiliate me like that in Jamaica?
How did I humiliate you?
Brian, I was there. I saw you go off with that woman.
He throws back his head and sits on a stool. She furrows her brow as she watches him. He covers his mouth and rubs his forehead.
It's not as bad as it seems. You see, Doug landed a rich chick. And that night he bet me that I couldn't do the same.
A rich chick? So you'd go with a woman just because she had money?
No, it's not the money. He bet me that I wasn't good enough to hustle her.
Hustle her? And I was worth so little to you that you could just take some stupid juvenile bet?
No, you see, a guy lays down it there, you gotta take it.
Brian, how do you think I felt seeing you go off with some woman after the time that we spent together?
Just hold on a second. You were pushing me down there. You were coming on too strong, too fast.
Oh, I was pushing you. Well, you know, you happened to be there, too. I thought that we had something going. I didn't play any games with you.
He sits.
I know. I'm sorry,
I guess I just got spooked.
He looks back at her.
But now I know I can handle it.
He walks to her.
Oh, you can handle it, huh? So what if you got spooked again?
I won't.
I'll bet I can spook you.
No way.
I'm pregnant.
He frowns.
I'm spooked.
She looks down.
It's mine?
She rolls her head away.
I was only asking.
Look, you're not going to be bothered or burdened, okay? You can still go out and make a million, don't worry.
I'm not worried. I mean, I am worried.
I don't want to talk about it anymore.
Okay.
Just go.
Why?
Because I want you to go, all right? Just go.
She pushes him away.
You let me come up here just so you could kick me out, didn't you?
Mm-hmm.
He rubs his neck and picks up his jacket. He tries to embrace her.
No. Just get out!
She pushes him again.
I know you're upset, but if this is the way it's going to be, why'd you even tell me about the baby?
Because I knew it would be the best way to get you out of my life.
He backs up, turns, and slowly walks toward the door. He looks back at her before leaving the apartment. She covers her face and falls on her bed. A basketball game is on TV. Pat grabs money off the bar as Eddie tries to get it.
It's for cigarette change.
When you hand it to me, it's for change. When you put it on the edge of the bar, it's a tip.
Brian enters.
Hey, kid.
Yeah, how are you?
Brian looks at Pat.
I got a problem. You got time for a quick talk?
Well, make it fast. I'm real busy here.
They walk to the other end of the bar.
What's the matter?
Brian looks down and smiles.
I'm going to be a father.
Pat smiles.
That's it. Bar's closed. Huh? Finish up. Come on. Hit the road. Let's go. Eddie, finish up. Everybody out of here.
Blast. Come on.
After closing...
You ought to know better than come to a bartender for advice.
What am I going to do about this girl?
Nothing.
You mean nothing?
She's not trying to shake you down. She's not trying to make you marry her. You don't care about her. You can walk away from the whole thing.
Ryan props his head against his hand.
What if I do care about her?
Then you got a problem.
Later, a woman steps out of an apartment.
Jordan, I just want to talk to you.
She's not hiding. She's not home. She's at her parents' place. Go bang down their door.
You wouldn't happen to know where that is, would you?
Sure, Park Avenue, corner 67th.
He starts to turn.
Park Avenue?
Yeah, Park Avenue.
He looks at Jordan's door and walks down the hall. Later, he waits for a desk clerk who is on a phone.
Listen, you get here when you say you will, or you won't work in this building again.
Excuse me.
So you'll be here what time?
I don't mean to bother you.
What time did you say you'd be here? Hello?
I'm sorry, what apartment are the Moonies in?
It's the penthouse. Your name, please?
Brian Flanagan.
Are the Moonies expecting you?
No, not exactly.
All visitors have to be announced, Mr. Flanagan.
The desk clerk picks up the phone. Elevator doors open and Brian steps into a hallway. He rings a doorbell.
Mr. Flanagan, will you come in, please?
May I take your coat, sir?
Oh, okay.
Brian's led to a large room.
I'll be summoned with you in a moment.
The butler leaves. Brian pulls down his shirt and looks around the room. There are white couches, black leather chairs, and large paintings on the walls. A man in a suit enters the room. They stand and look at each other.
I'm Richard Mooney. I'm Jordan's father.
I'm Brian Flanagan.
He offers his hand, but it's ignored.
I've come to see her.
Well, she's not here. But come in.
Come in.
I'd like to talk to you.
Mr. Mooney looks out the window.
Sit down, sit down.
Brian sits. Mr. Mooney crosses the room.
Well, I've certainly heard a lot about you in the last couple of days.
He looks at Brian.
You know, I don't know what really happened between the two of you, but... I must say, I think you've got a hell of a lot of nerve coming up here after what you did to my daughter.
I understand that. And I realize that Jordan is very upset. But if I could talk to her, make her see that I'm going to stick by her through this.
I hope you're not suggesting that you'll marry her.
Brian looks away and raises his eyebrows.
I'm not sure what we're going to do. We've got a lot to talk about.
The hell you do. The hell you do. All right, look. I know Jordan a lot better than you do, and I've never seen her as unhappy as she is at this moment. She's just not very wise in the ways of the world. And right now, what she needs around her are people she can trust.
She can trust me.
She doesn't want to see you. She doesn't want to even talk to you.
They both stand.
Just wait here for one moment for me, will you, please?
He leaves the room, and Brian shifts in his spot. Downstairs, Jordan enters.
Good afternoon, Miss Mooney.
Hi.
She goes to the elevator. Mr. Mooney returns to Brian with a small piece of paper.
Mr. Mooney, I think I'm just...
Miss Flanagan, here.
He hands Brian the paper.
What the hell is this?
That's for you.
He looks at the paper and his jaw drops.
$10,000.
He glares at Mr. Mooney.
Is that all your daughter's worth?
Okay. How much will it take?
I don't want your damn money. You can't buy me out of Jordan's life.
You think I'm letting some bartender walk into my family and destroy my daughter's life?
That is her choice.
The hell you say?
Her choice!
The hell you say?
What is going on here?
Jordan, I came by here to talk to you.
Look, if you don't get out of here, Flanagan, I'm
going to
have you thrown out on your ass.
Jordan, I know the other night I didn't say the right things. God knows I have not done the right things. But I think there's a chance for us.
Brian, there is no us. There are just too many things about us that don't work.
What about the baby? I mean, our kid needs a father.
Not one that's not going to be around in a year.
Yeah, with your lifestyle, what kind of a father are you
going to have? Dad!
He shrugs and steps away.
Jordan, I want a second chance.
No.
I deserve a second chance.
No. Brian, how am I ever going to know that you're being honest with me? I mean, you can barely be honest with yourself.
Honest? Were you so honest? Why didn't you tell me you were the original rich chick?
Because you're so hung up on money. I was afraid that I'd never know how you really felt about me. Me. How you'd really feel about me.
Brian holds up the check.
This is your father's idea of how to get me out of your life.
She looks at her father. Brian tears up the check.
This is how hung up on money I am.
He puts the pieces on a table.
But as for the way I feel about you, I guess you'll never know.
He leaves, and Jordan turns away. A cab pulls up beside a limo.
Brian, let me in!
Brian steps out of the taxi with a red box. He pushes through a crowd and past bouncers into a club. A bouncer chases him.
Hey, where's Doug Conklin?
He's over there.
Over there? Hey, you! You! Doug! Conklin! Doug!
Flanagan! My best friend in the world. My only friend. Piss off, Henry. It's okay. It's great to see you, my only friend.
Yes.
Because you know I've come to pay off my bet.
Brian!
Gary!
She kisses him on the mouth.
What are you doing here?
I've come to beg and plead for a job.
It'd be great to get some talent behind the bar.
She moves away, showing her exposed back in her low-cut dress. Brian sits with Doug, and they watch her. She talks with a man in a dark suit, then kisses him. Brian looks at Doug and lifts his hand off the table.
Well, let's go somewhere where we can appreciate this. Come on.
He leaves with the box. Brian follows after glancing at Carrie. As they leave, Carrie turns to watch. They walk toward a dock.
Good job, get in there. What are you doing out here? Get in there and spend some money. Keep me in the manner I'm accustomed to. Very good, how are you? Get in there and spend some money, you two. What do you think of my rowing boat?
That's yours? Unbelievable.
Bravo, you landlubber.
Brian opens the bottle inside the yacht.
Baccarat or a crystal. Louis XIII, et voila. Should we let it breathe?
It hasn't breathed in 50 years. It's dead. Let's just drink it.
Brian pours brandy into two glasses. He moves the glass around as Doug tries to take it. He finally hands it to Doug.
Health and friendship?
Life and love.
Doug drinks. Brian lifts his hands while he looks around the boat. He picks up a Polaroid camera.
Douglas Coughlin, your ship has certainly come in.
My ship is going down, and I'm going down with it.
How's that?
Well, this is an illusion. I'm on my ass. I haven't got a pot to piss in.
$100,000 a week. Painful.
Should have read some of your sacred books, young Flanagan. The only thing I know about saloons is how to pour whiskey and run my mouth off. I knew nothing about insurance, or sales tax, or the building code, or labor costs, or the power company, or purchasing, or linens. Everyone with a hand stuck it in my pocket.
You must make enough to cover that.
If I'd stuck to what I know best, which is almost nothing. Instead, I put all the cash into commodities and blew the lot. On the margin, buy, cover, buy, cover. I wanted it fast.
Brian's mouth drops. He sits next to Doug.
See the headlines. Douglas Coughlin. From bartender to billionaire.
Doug pours more liquor into his glass.
Hey, Doug, take it easy, huh?
Relax. The luck is gone. The brain is shot. But the liquor we still got.
They toast and Doug drinks.
There.
She knows nothing about this. She thinks I'm a hero.
Carrie climbs down into the boat.
My princess. My dream.
Oh, baby. Not again. I want to go home.
Come here. A toast, Flanagan. To the first and last person I ever cared about.
He kisses her hand.
To my wife.
Doug?
He falls asleep.
Doug, wake up. I want to go home.
Later that night, a black Mercedes turns, showing Brian driving and Carrie sitting next to him. They pull into a parking garage. The car stops.
You know you're the only person in the world Doug respects?
He looks ahead and laughs.
We were a good team once.
Walk me to my apartment. I hate going to that place alone.
Brian looks down.
I better check on Doug.
Please. I want to talk about Doug. About his problems.
They look at each other. Carrie opens a door and Brian follows her inside. She's wearing a long fur coat. She walks across the room, takes off her coat, and places it over the couch. She slips off her shoes. She turns to Brian and puts her hands on her hips. She smirks.
Doug says you're incredible with women. A real lady killer.
Is that what he says?
What's your secret weapon?
Well, what you see is what you get.
She puts her hand behind his head and kisses him. She pulls him closer and he embraces her. His face tenses and he pushes away from her.
Hold it.
What did you do that for?
I can't make it with my best friend's old lady.
She glares at him.
Am I supposed to live with the same man day in and day out forever and have no one else in my life?
Yes, it's called marriage.
You wanted this as much as I did. That's why you're up here. But you can't do it now, can you? You're scared.
He looks down.
I don't know what the hell I'm doing.
You're just scared!
Fog hangs over the city. Brian hugs his chest as he walks down the pier to Doug's boat. He climbs onto the boat and descends the ladder into the cabin.
Hey, Doug. Doug.
Doug's eyes are open and his head is lying on a table in a pool of blood. There's broken glass on the table. Brian touches the blood.
Help me! Somebody help me! No! Somebody help me!
The words coroner and keep back 200 feet are on the back of a van. The van doors open and a body bag is slid inside. A man with a pad of paper talks to Brian. Brian's face is hard. Brian sits in a diner, twirling his spoon. He looks at a coffee cup in front of him and pushes it away. He leans back in his chair and pulls money from his pocket. He places the money on the table and stands. People gather in a cemetery around a casket.
The Lord is my shepherd. He shall not want.
Brian enters his apartment holding mail. He puts his coat down, throws his keys on the table, and shuffles through the mail. He tosses all but one envelope on the table. He opens the envelope. A note reads, "Brian, Doug left this for you. Carrie." Brian sits and opens a letter. He holds his hand to his mouth.
My dearest Brian, a guy like me looks in the mirror. He either grins or he starts to fade away. And I haven't seen anything to grin about in a long time. This may not be the most graceful exit, but I know when the bottle's empty. But the only thing I'm really going to miss is the conversations we had going. At least I get the last word, even if I had to mail it in. Coughlin's law. Bury the dead, they stink up the joint. As for the rest of Coughlin's laws, ignore them.
Brian is crying. He looks around the room and stops at a paper reading Cocktails and Dreams, pinned to a corkboard. He rubs his forehead and scrunches up his face. Later, he walks into Jordan's parents' apartment building.
Excuse me, Rooney's apartment, Brian.
I know who you are, pal. I've been instructed not to let you into the building.
If you just...
Leave now!
Look, I just want to talk to her for a few minutes. I don't want to cause any trouble. Just
send her a letter. Out!
Get your hands off me, man.
Out!
The desk clerk walks away, and Brian runs to an elevator as the doors close.
Hey!
The desk clerk pushes the elevator button and hits the door. The Mooney's butler opens the front door. When he sees Brian, he quickly tries to close it, but Brian pushes through.
Where's Jordan?
Where's Jordan?
She's in there? Yeah. I mean, you can't go in there.
He locks the door.
Jordan?
Open the door.
Jordan! Jordan!
What?
Jordan, I have to talk to you.
What's going on?
Please, there's so many things I don't know where to begin. Doug is dead.
What?
He killed himself.
Brian.
He was my best friend, but he was too proud to let me help him. He was too proud to show how he felt until it was too late. I don't want to make that same mistake, Jordan.
The desk clerk enters the apartment.
He pushed right past me into the sitting room.
I told you to keep that punk out of this house.
Sorry.
You can find me. Jordan, are you in there?
I have saved money. I've worked out a loan with my uncle for some more. With hard work, I know I can turn it into something great.
Brian, I know you can. I know you can. Really, it doesn't really matter.
Listen to me.
Who's on the elevator before
I
do it?
Give me the key. I love you. I want to marry you. I've loved you from the first moment I saw you, Jordan. Please. Please, come with me.
Flanagan! Get the hell out of my house! Jordan, wake up! Don't you see why he's come back here? He's only come back for one reason, for the money.
That's not true. I don't want a thing from you.
You're not going to get anything. Not one penny. He's a loser.
I'm not a loser. Please, Jordan, come with me.
Get him out of here, please.
Oh, stay out of this. This has nothing to do with you. Please.
Throw this bum out of here.
He's grabbed.
Holy crash.
Hold it. Just hold it.
Jordan, don't go.
Okay.
If you walk out of this house right now, just don't bother coming back.
Dad, I'm going. I love him.
You're not going anywhere. Jordan, stop her!
Jordan tries to push past the clerk, but he grabs her arms.
She's pregnant!
The clerk hits him. Jordan struggles with the clerk. Brian kicks the clerk in the back and punches him into a sculpture. Jordan slowly walks past her father to the elevator and hugs Brian.
It didn't have to be this way, you know.
Jordan looks back at her father as Brian pushes the elevator button. Her father walks to the door as they get on the elevator.
You're on your own.
It's the only way I want it.
At dusk, cars drive by Pat's place. Inside...
A toast to the bride and to my nephew. All the happiness. Hey.
Jordan and Brian kiss.
Oh, there you go.
They dance in a crowd. He spins her and they continue dancing as Eddie, a waitress from Doug's bar, and other people watch.
Divorce me in 3 weeks.
Probably. No, you'll want to divorce me. You can go fat, ugly.
Just as long as you don't get too fat.
I am going to be very fat, and you are going to love it.
They embrace and spin. Later, a sign reading Flanagan's Cocktails and Dreams flashes in a window. Brian flips a bottle behind his back. He pours two drinks and puts them on the bar. He jumps on the bar. Jordan blows him a kiss. She has a large stomach. He scratches his head.
Okay, a poem. Well, this poem is entitled Flanagan's Advice to His Unborn Child. Now, if Jordan gives birth to a fine Irish son, there'll be cocktails and dreams for him one day to run. A business that shall yield a financial windfall.
It better!
To be franchised in every suburban shopping mall.
A dynasty! You're founding a dynasty!
Now, if a daughter arrives to bless our clan, I guess it will certainly hit the fan. But this I shall promise to thee. I'll never let her marry a guy like me.
Jordan glides to him.
Still, if our child's the naughtiest of girls or the wildest of young men, I swear I'll be the best dad I can. And never, ever get spooked again.
They kiss.
Bet I can still spook you.
No way.
She pulls his head down and puts her face to his ear. His smile fades. He looks at her.
Twins? Twins?
Twins!
He's standing on the bar.